Greetings again, everyone. At this time, I would like you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. What I'll be doing both this morning and tonight is a two-part series on the use of the tongue and the use of our speech. God had graciously given us the ability to communicate, and He had also and given it guidelines how to use it and how not to use it. This morning we'll do the positive, negative, the good use of the tongue. Tonight we'll talk about the wrong and sinful use of the tongue. So if you have your outline, you'll see all of those verses. For those who haven't been with it, I have typed out every one of these verses in the middle for you so you can follow along as I touch on them. Or when I speak of the fact that I will summarize them by saying, here are the positive lists, the positive uses of the tongue, or the fruit of the good use of the tongue from our list. I am referring to this list inside your outline. And I have summarized it all rather than reading them all, else we will be just reading and reading and reading and continue to read. So I will summarize it for you, and it's there for your reading to confirm it when you go home. And you should be in Proverbs chapter 18. We'll get there in a moment. And the Bible makes it real clear that God had given us the ability to speak, to talk, to communicate, and to share ideas with one another. And before we go any farther, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, be with us this morning. We ask that you would help us to be serious about the words we say, and sometimes even the words we don't say. And so, Lord, we need to realize the seriousness of our words. People have admitted to the fact that words have hurt them more than any physical beating. And yet we continue to hurt each other with our words. We continue to not use our tongue in a rightful manner for which you have given it to us. So Lord, this morning, as we set aside time to look into your word to see what you have to say, help us to listen and to heed the authority of your word. And may we evaluate and examine our own hearts. And when we are not living up to your standard and the right use, may we begin to do so. And likewise, if we are using it wrong, we should cease doing it. So Father, help us. Bless us with your presence. May we heed your word in Christ's name. Amen. God gave us the ability to speak so we can communicate. God expected to use it to speak the truth, use it wisely, and to exalt his holy name. Our Lord himself taught us the source of our words. They come from our heart. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speak. So the words we say speak to what kind of treasure that in our heart, whether good or evil. And whatever you're full of thought or full of meditation of, what is dominating your thinking in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. The idea here that we say the things that dominate our thoughts in our hearts. There are no slips of the tongue that did not originate first in the heart. A lot of times we want to say thoughtless. Well, I didn't mean that. It was there, it came out, and you didn't have any of the gate to stop it from coming out. You didn't put into place any guardrails, any fencing, anything to, any filter to keep it from coming out. So there is no slip of the tongue. Throughout the Bible, God uses words like lips, tongue, mouth, words, say or sayings, speech, answering, response. In other words, to point to our ability and to our accountability of what we say to each other. Matthew 12:36 says it this way, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." I have a little warning here in that verse for those who happen to be on the sarcastic side or quick-witted and sometimes nasty and gnarly when you do that. You want to be careful in the light of that verse, because what you flippantly say to others, for every idle word will be accounted for, and you will have to give an account for it before the Lord. Excuse me. In Proverbs alone, this word group would use 195 times in Proverbs. God has a lot to say about what we say and how we talk and how we use our speech and the words we use. So let's look at what he said. Point number one, we must govern what we say. You should be in Proverbs 18. You can either look in your list in here or in the Bible where I asked you to be to start out with. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Clearly, there is no more potent word on the potency and the power of the tongue, whether to destroy or to give life, than this verse right here. There is power of life and death in the tongue. This is not a hyperbole. This is the truth. Words are powerful, and we will be accountable for how we use them. There are consequences to what we say to others. The fruit of our lips will either be poisonous or wholesome, death or life. Our speech is either the work of evil or the best of blessings, bitter or sweet. It destroys or it edifies others. Our tongue organ was intended for praise and blessing, not for criticism and gossip. Please turn with me now to James chapter 3. You cannot talk on the subject of the tongue from the biblical perspective without going to the definitive passage in all of Scripture regarding the tongue than James chapter 3. James chapter 3, for those taking note, verses 2 through 12. James chapter 3, this is a powerful, we're not going to do an exposition, so you can relax, probably at least five messages right here. But we're just going to read it to get the just of what the importance is and the seriousness of the use of our tongue. James chapter 3, verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word or speech or what they say, he is a perfect or complete and mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the court of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." Before any go farther, when I think of that aspect, that the tongue is like a fire, what he is trying to communicate to it is what I grew up in my era where I heard it, those are my age, you know, the old Smokey the Bear ad where he said only you can prevent forest fire, and it was talking to, and he always show this picture that you have this massive fire destroying and forces and thousands of acres all by one match or one careless, unattending campfire not totally and completely put out that resurfaced and set the forest on fire. That's the picture he is painting here, that one word will set on fire a mass of destruction and hurtfulness. That's the picture. Pick it up in verse 7 with me. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of sea, it tamed and had been tamed by mankind. Now look at these startling words in the next verse. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked, and who should know it? The heart is deceitful. The heart is wicked. We are sinners by nature in our heart. That's what the scripture says. That's why we do it. We're not product of our environment. We're product of the sin nature going out from us. That's why Jesus said it's not what goes in the mouth that destroys the man. It's what comes out of the man, his heart. And so the whole idea here, when he said no man can tame the tongue, well, why should I worry about it? But God can help you tame the tongue. That's the whole premise here. You can't do it in and of yourself because you just naturally say things that are not honoring, helpful, and useful in the light of God's word. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. Doth a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus so springs yield both salt water and fresh. In other words, he is saying in those last part verses, is you should not be saying good and bad doesn't come out of this naturally. That's a hypocrite. When you're saying sweet thing, oh, I'll sing the praises of Jesus, but I'll backstab and I'll slander and I'll gossip and I'll say hurtful words to others. Shouldn't be that way. That should not be so, he says. So, what we have in the book of Proverbs, when I summarized it and began to look at the list that shows all of the verses that speak to the use of the tongue, I basically came up with five key words that we need to learn to govern our tongue. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. And that is the word restrain. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Learning to restrain his lips. The word restrain is the Hebrew word that means you need to withhold or to spare or to keep quiet or to hold back. There a lot of times when you're tempted to say something, you know you shouldn't say it, but you got this irresistible urge to say it. You need to restrain from that. So often when we refuse to restrain and refrain from saying things we ought not to say, ought not to disclose, that could be hurtful, damaging, breaking up and causing a serious rip in the relationship, misunderstanding, the list goes on. But the key is the fact that we are so tempted to give people a piece of our mind. We see the world practicing totally unchecked speech. That is not the life of the Christian. We have to learn to restrain. We have to learn to realize that I'm not going to let this match out and start a forest fire. I'm not going to let this word out or this concept out or this idea out and cause some damage and have to be accountable for it. Not only in the saying of it, but the ripple effect that caused from it. Proverbs 17, 27 and 8 says that he who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Listen to this. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lip, he is considered perceptive. There is a saying that I picked up a long time ago. I've never forgotten it. Haven't had the opportunity to use it from time to time. It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. You want to be careful. The Bible makes it real clear that we are to learn to restrain and spare our word. We need to learn to hold our peace and shut our lip. And even a fool who does that is considered perceptive and wise. Word number two, found in 13 verse 3a, is the word guard. The word, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. And the word guard means to watch over it, keep in secret. It's the idea, one is you have this irresistible urge to share it. The other one is the fact that you are guarding and you're careful what you say in the sense of the amount of information. One is more regarding hurtful and damaging word, restraining, and guarding it. You know, some information is not useful. I remember my pastor years ago preached a sermon on the tongue, and he said you should have three gates before you say any words. Number one, the first gate it has to go through is what you're going to say, is it true? If it's not true, don't say it. Number two, is it necessary? Is it necessary? And number three, does it glorify God? If it can pass all those gates, it's true, yet it's necessary, and it honors God, then say it in the spirit of love. But you want to be careful to guard what comes out of your mouth, because a lot of things we may say, it's not necessary. The idea here is that when you guard your mouth, it preserves your life. Sometimes we say too much. Sometimes we say things that are not helpful. Psalm 39:1 says it this way. I said, I will guard my way, let thy sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Word number three, the word wholesome. Proverbs 15 verse 4a reads as follows. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue. A lot of times we have an idea what wholesome, a lot of times we think of a Hallmark movie, wholesome. But it's higher and better than that. It is the word that means that you have words that bring health, bring healing, and bring cure to people. You come along and you give good words and wholesome words that builds and strengthens and heals them when they're hurting, they're down, they're fearful, they're afraid, they're worried, they're anxious. It restores and heals as opposed to hurt and destroyed relationship. So you always have a juxtaposition or the contrast between the right use, wholesome, versus the wrong use, destructive. Or unwholesome, if you want to use that opposite. Proverbs 12:18 said this, but the tongue of the wise promote health. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bone. One of my favorite, Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in a season to him who is weary. That is a wholesome tongue. Having the ability to come alongside and give those choice and wonderful words that heal and strengthen and encourage people in a time of need. The fourth word is found in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 11, and that is the word grace. Good word. He who loves purity of heart and had grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. The idea of grace is granting favor, getting what you don't deserve, so to speak. Also a sense of pleasantness. Ecclesiastic 10 verse 12 said it this way, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. We need to have tongues that speak grace and is gracious. There are times when somebody may have messed up, but you can give them a kind, gracious word rather than a sharp rebuke. There are times when we need to simply show grace and be gracious and don't have to always hammer at every point in time. The fifth word is found in Proverbs 31:26, and none other than the Proverbs 31 woman. It says this, "This godly woman had this distinct trademark regarding the things she said. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." She knows how to speak in such a way that it always comes across as the scent of kindness. The word kindness is the Hebrew word that speaks of goodness, merciful. Often it was joined together with the word, with loving kindness. It was translated, this very word would translate loving kindness, which is a lot deeper than just simple, general kindness. The idea also was this word comprised of the idea and the concept of faithfulness. It gives you the idea they're kind because they keep their promises. They're faithful. This Proverbs 31 woman that we see here is not only what she speaks, she gives godly wisdom and advice. She also had the law of kindness that speaks to the fact that it graced with loving kindness and faithfulness. Gentle and trustworthy are her words as opposed to being harsh and unreliable. Malachi 2 verse 6 speaks this way, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and in justice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity." So we have here the man who had the law of truth in his mouth, who's a peaceful man, a fair man, an equitable person. You won't find injustice on their lips, and they aptly help turn many from the path of iniquity, sin. And that is wrong. So for starters, we must understand the power of the tongue to either bless or curse, help or hurt, heal or destroy. Beloved, we must govern our word to be useful, a blessing, and an honoring to the Lord. New Testament, Ephesians 4, verse 29 said this, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers." Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We must govern our word by refraining from what is not wise, by guarding our lips and not revealing things hurtful. Use skillful and wholesome words that are a blessing and heal. May our tongue impart grace to those who are around us. And we must always speak with loving kindness and mercy. In closing this point, I simply ask in a brief prayer, Lord, help us to honor you with our words, to heal the hurting, guide the wayward, comfort the downcast, give hope to the despairing, rebuke the willful, wisdom to the teachable, and strength to the weak. Brings it to point number two, the right use of our tongue. What we have here is how we should speak, what manner we should speak. You'll notice the passage that I have there in Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, which reads as follows. And it had both of them together, so you'll see the good and bad use, but we're going to zero in on the positive. "He who speaks truth declared righteousness, but a false witness and deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." So we need the beloved, right? Clearly what we see here is we need to always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. "He who speaks the truth declared righteousness." When you don't speak the truth, you're speaking falsehood and deceit. We must always speak the truth. And we must always do it in love. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. We live in a day where people don't want to hear the truth, and we may be tempted to refrain from it, but we need to communicate the truth so they know the standard of God's word. And that the blessed life will only come when we follow Him and live to His standard, to His pattern of righteousness. When I surveyed the entire list, I in summary saw the following that we need to use our tongue for. The following exhortation were given for the rightful and honorable use of our speech and our tongue. When we speak, we're to impart wisdom and knowledge, not vanity. A lot of times we talk about nonsense. A lot of times we talk about stuff that really don't matter. There's a time for recreational talk, but there is a time where you got to stop that and start getting sober and serious. And I don't mean sober as not drunk, but sober as in serious. Life is serious. Proverbs 10, verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. When's the last time you pass knowingly wisdom onto somebody? And yet we have right here in this passage that we should be doing it consistently and regularly. Proverbs 10, 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. They deal with reality and the truth and the things that matter, not in the things that doesn't. Also from the list, we are to learn to hold our peace, to spare our words, and to restrain from the wrong kind of talk. And I don't mean wrong kind of grammatically talking, but morally speaking. It's amazing how people can tell somebody the truth and they get hung up because they didn't say it right. You're not interested in the truth. All you want to do is criticize the grammar, the English. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Proverbs is talking about. I have a little note here. Because sometimes when you learn messages like this and you learn about, my goodness, this is serious business and how I use my word, I just won't say a thing. I have a note for you. Deadpan silence does not impart anything. Your silence doesn't impart wisdom. Just silence. Doesn't impart bad things, thankfully, but it doesn't impart any wisdom. So the idea here, God gave us the ability to speak, and we must use it for His glory and not be mute about the good thing, the holy thing, the right thing, the godly thing, the truthful thing, even when our world don't want to hear it. Sometimes they want to turn it around. Well, you guys believe that. The Bible said that, yes, we do. Unashamedly, we say that. Because that's the truth. If you think that's wrong, your issue is not with us, with Him. Beloved, the world needs to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth about life, about creation, sin, Christ, the need of salvation, the fear of the Lord, and His righteous standard. They need to hear that. That's the truth. That is reality. When you leave this world, those things will matter. The things that we spend time talking about and trying to transfer information and knowledge about in our information world today that we can get at our fingertip in a gluttony form is useless in most cases. It's a waste of time. Sometimes the best thing you can do is turn everything off and get in your book, the Bible. And you watch how much you'll grow in knowledge and truth and wisdom and discernment. share what is acceptable. The lips also speak the fact that we need to speak the truth and declare righteousness. Our lips need to be known as truthful lips. You can go to so-and-so, they'll tell you the truth. Ask them any question, they'll tell you the truth. Even though we know they may not want to hear it. We speak the truth. Truthful lips. Be a faithful witness. And in conflict, may our answer and speech be soft than harsh words. We must use our words rightly and timely. We see that in Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. But the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. So what we have here, the wise will take knowledge and use it rightly and appropriately. Whereas a fool, all they want to just blow out. All they want to talk about is folly, foolishness, and silliness. Proverbs 15:23, the man had joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. That's why I said rightly and timely. Because you can say the truth, and the timing may not have been good. You need wisdom, not only what to say, but when to say it. That requires wisdom, and we need to ask God to help us and guide us with that. There are times we get frustrated and we don't know what to say, and then when we do have the answer, we need to know when to say it. So it said, a man had joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. What a blessing it is to have the right word in a timely manner to be a blessing to somebody that turns them around for the good. Kind of get their head back on straight and guiding them. But here's what the Bible says about a fool. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Does that verse not speak to the folly and foolishness in our world today? They don't believe in the truth. They claim their truth, your truth, my truth. No, there is the truth, and that is the truth of the living God, found and codified in the Word of God. Beloved, fools don't want to know the truth, wisdom, and understanding. All they want to do is express their heart. Be free to say what they want with no repercussion. I'm sorry, that's never going to happen. The reason is, it's because we're going to give an account for every idle word we have ever said. I already said that to you earlier in our message. Quoted the Lord Jesus himself. A wise person will study and teach their words to be wholesome, pleasant, and sweet, and helpful to the hearer. Where do we find that? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poured forth evil. All they want to do, again, spread their heart and only what they want in their perception. Remember, when you talk about the righteous versus the wicked, you're talking about a person that the total different worldviews and total goals of life. You got a righteous person who's walking the path of the fear of the Lord and the path of wisdom versus the wicked who said, no, I don't want it. I want my way. I want to do my thing. Well, man, that can be anything, but it's always away from the Lord and away from His Word. Proverbs 16:23-4, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bone. So those are all the very different ways we are to use our tongue. Good, wholesome, useful, pleasantness. And when we use our tongue right, it will bear good fruit. That's what point number three is. Blessing from the lips of the righteous. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom. Proverbs 23:16, yet my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right thing. Those are great and encouraging words. God himself will take great joy and delight when we speak right thing. Not right according to the world, not right according to the ungodly, not right according to the wicked, but right according to the Lord himself. That's what counts. It is he who brings blessings and woes. It is he who will bless your life as opposed to hold you accountable and judge your life when you decide to walk off the path. That's why clear back in Proverbs chapter 3, he said, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, but be corrected by it. Learn from it. Grow from it. Because I'm trying to correct you to get away from the bad path and on to the right path again. Again, when the Lord corrects or chastens, the idea is not punitive to punish. It is to correct you to get back on the right path. This section is about the fruit of what we say, the blessedness that comes when we use our tongue and words rightly. When we use our word for what they are intended for, it will be a blessing to all. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. You know as well as I do, there are certain people you can get around with, they're just healing, a blessing, and encouragement. We talk a lot about many of the saints who have gone to be with the Lord that are no longer in our midst anymore, how we miss them. And even during their illness, we would go visit them to try to be an encouragement to them, only to find out we were the one who got blessed. That these kind of people. They are the mouth of the righteous who is a well of life. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Fruitfulness, vitality, nourishment, encouragement, comfort. People should gain wisdom from hearing it, not folly, foolishness, or vanity. People will learn the truth and know righteousness and turn away from sin and foolishness. Why? Because we're willing to confront them in a gracious, loving way that they're off the wrong path. If they're on the wrong path. Listen to these words. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Boy, that verse ought to carry you from lying. God hates it. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. Oh, I love it. Do we not want to please the Lord? Do we not want to glorify the Lord? Do we not want to honor and exalt and magnify him? Well, one of the ways we do it is by dealing truthfully and speaking truthfully. God loves and delights in those who speak and deal truthfully. Our words should heal people, preserve life, and promote health. And we're not talking about physical. We're talking about spiritual, mental, and psychological wholeness and healing. Sometimes the best thing somebody needs is the good old-fashioned, wholesome, loving, caring word. We need to beloved, if we love and fear the Lord, we want our speech to honor him, glorify him, please him, and exalt him. We have to be careful what we say. The truth itself will offend. We do not have to offend by poor use of words in an untimely manner with a bad spirit, such as a critical, judgmental, or a holier-than-thou attitude. Nothing turns people off more. You come with the truth in a condescending way. Now, mind you, no matter how loving and gracious you may tell the truth, some people are going to get offended. That's because the truth offends. Look at the Lord Jesus. Nobody said the truth more purely than he did, in a more purely loving way than he did, and look at the enemies he had. It was the fact, it wasn't any blame in him, they didn't want to hear the truth. To them, it sounds like hate. It's wrong. You got to accept me for who I am. No. God is holy and we answer to him. He does not answer to us. So beloved, when we speak the truth. We speak to honor and glorify him. Not long ago, we did a rather long series on the book of Job. We all remember it because it was like it went on and on. We know his three friends wasn't the best after their first 2 weeks with him because they didn't say a word. When the discussion and dialogue began, a lot of times we listened to what they had to say what they said was true, but it didn't apply to him truthfully. But there's a lot of things they said, if you pay close attention, that reveal some godly character about Job that we miss, that we see in Job 1 and 2, it's crystal clear, you know, nobody fears me like Job does, God said to Satan. But later on, in chapter 4, Eliphaz said this, in Job 4, verse 3 and 4, "Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak in hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble need." What a testimony Job had. Job was a man who knew how to use his lips in a way that was a blessing to his fellow man. That even his friend Eliphaz said, "Job, man, you have instructed a lot of people. You have helped a lot of people. You have healed a lot of people. You have strengthened a lot of people. You have bolstered up people when they were weak, faltering, and struggling. You came by with the right word. Let be like Job there. Let's learn how to use our words in a way that blesses and encourages. And if we don't know the word to say, let's find ourselves in our closet. God, give me the word to say to help my brother, my sister who's struggling right now." And those words can be said to him in a text, a phone call, if you can't get with him. But the point is that we need to remember to use our words in a way that's honorable. I'm going to close with a verse and a prayer that I found on the internet that I thought would be helpful for us. The verse is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." The prayer is this, and I'll close with this prayer. Let's bow. Lord, I know my tongue often gets ahead of my mind and heart. I am quick to speak and repent of many thoughtless things that I have spoken. I am sorry for the word that I have spoken in anger or in gossip. Please help me to see when I'm about to speak without thinking, to check my heart. Help me be slow to speak. Help me, Lord, to be a person full of loving words, full of your spirit, overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, amen.